You know the problem with Starship?
Maximum payload! Zero tons! To orbit. Try making a moon mission off that.
Yeah, the numbers on Starship just don't add up. Not even slightly. So how is this going to end up costing the US taxpayer some $30 billion? Let's just remind ourselves of the timeline here. In 2021, they said they would be landing starships on the moon by 2024. At least that's what they told NASA when they were applying for some $3 billion to build the human landing system. Meanwhile, in 2024, Musk was saying, maybe 2027.
I'd be surprised if it's long been about 3 years to be landing starships on the moon. And because the rate of progression of Starship is very rapid.
Yeah, it takes a certain degree of shamelessness to turn up about the time that Starship's meant to be landing on the moon and say, we're making such rapid progress that I think we could land on the moon in about 3 years, you know, given that we haven't achieved the first goal on this Gantt chart yet. Which brings us to the end of 2025, basically 2026, when the acting head of NASA says, this.
SpaceX had the contract to get us to the moon. They were supposed to get us there in 24. They then pushed the contract back to 27.
Okay, and thus far they've spent about $3 billion, and I'm sure 2027's a sure thing, right?
I'd be surprised if it's long been about 3 years to be landing starships on the moon.
And about 5 weeks ago, they came back and said, well, no, it's not 27, it's going to be the end of 28.
Yeah. End of 2028, you know, 2029. It was April 2023, after the first catastrophic launch of Starship, when Musk said this.
And we should be, I would be surprised if we exit this year without getting to orbit.
You're as intelligent as you can predict the future well.
I'd say it's not 100% probably, but I think we've probably got an 80% cross probability of reaching orbit this year, and pretty, and I don't want to tempt fate here, knock on wood, but I think close to 100% chance of reaching orbit within 12 months.
You will, of course, be stunned to find out that Musk was surprised again, and none of the Starship launches over the next year or so made it to orbit, with Starship 1 blowing up, Starship 2 blowing up spectacularly, and Starship 3 spinning helplessly out of control.
If we lost rockets at the rate that Elon Musk loses his big Starship, NASA would have been out of business. Congress would have shut us down.
Yeah, just to be clear, this is Charlie Bolden, another previous former NASA administrator.
If we lost one Starship, let alone six or however many it's been, we can't do that.
In fact, none of the 11 or so missions that were launched over the next 2.5 years made it to orbit, the very first milestone on SpaceX's human landing system timeline. All the way back in 2023, Musk was asked if he thought that Starship would delay the landing on the moon, the human landing system. The delusionality of his answer needs to be heard to be believed.
Elon, do you expect HLS to be, Starship HLS to be the long pole for Artemis 3?
No, I definitely don't. I think we will be the first thing to be really be. That we will not be a limiting factor at all.
By which Musk meant they had no chance of SpaceX being able to deliver something until, at minimum, early 2029. If you believe SpaceX's promised timeline.
I think we could be sending people to orbit before the end of next year. Mm-hmm. You know, within a year, approximately.
I mean, you just take a look at how little progress they've actually made and make the extrapolation from that, and we're looking, 2035, maybe? If the taxpayer gives them a boatload more money. Yeah, they were meant to deliver all of this for $3 billion. And realistically, they've spent all of that money and haven't even achieved the very first goal on this Gantt chart. And to really rub salt into the wound, SpaceX then puts up this post actually boasting about the paltry things they've achieved when they were meant to be building a human landing system. It's quite literally like someone putting down a $250,000 deposit for a roadster that Musk said they were building now in 2017, only for Musk to turn up in 2026 with a press release saying that since announcing the next-gen roadster in 2017, Tesla has accelerated development through an iterative real-world prototyping campaign, rapidly validating capabilities and identifying optimization vectors. This effort has produced key milestones, including multiple concepts of our latest full-scale cardboard and crayon aerodynamic mock-up, showcasing our relentless innovation. To date, Tesla has secured over $1,250,000 deposits in reservation capital, enabling the creation of lightweight paper prototypes and numerous design validation cycles. In parallel, we're expanding visionary workspace to support this paradigm-redefining development cadence. And of course, we're making such amazing progress. Just look at this cardboard and crayon model. With the real joke, of course, being that that's still actually more progress than has actually been seen on the Tesla Roadster, where people really did put down $250,000 deposits for a car that Musk said he was building now almost a decade ago. And it's getting almost a tradition at this point, whilst I'm doing the work making these videos, the Starship blows up yet again. Just watch me burn. This time with their brand new, all-singing, all-dancing Starship, the version 3.
What in question, though, is the fastest time from rollout to testing destruction.
The one that's going to change everything.
In the space of 2 days, SpaceX has gone from debuting the latest and greatest in first stage performance to scrapping the new shiny machine.
And yes, this is NASA spaceflight, not actually anything to do with NASA, turns out. It's basically just another Musk fan channel. You can tell these things by the t-shirts they wear, like wearing one that says Starship Flight 8, and look at it successfully launching all those Starlink satellites. Just one slight fly in that ointment, of course. That's not how Flight 8 ended.
Skirt area of ship where you can see a pretty good view of all six Raptors, especially those three inner ones, one of which we're going to hopefully relight a little bit later.
Oh, that doesn't look right.
And we just saw some engines go out.
Two remaining, guys.
It looks like we are losing attitude control of the ship.
Trey spinning, Annie. That's a good trick.
And I think we could be sending people to orbit before the end of next year. Mm-hmm. You know, within a year, approximately.
Ship FTS is saved.
So we're still getting video down from the ship. You can see we've lost several engines and we've lost attitude control of the vehicle.
Well, usually SpaceX waits till the vehicle actually blows up before they notice things like they've lost control of it. Iggy, she's dancing! She's dancing!
So we'll continue to stick with it.
Quick, scrum our best spin team to tell everyone this was a great success!
For those of you that just recently joined us, we had a successful liftoff of the 8th test flight of Starship, followed by a successful stage separation. We
obviously a lot to go through, a lot to dig through. We're going to go right at it. The primary reason we do these flight tests is to learn. We have some more to learn about this vehicle, but we're going to be right back here in the not too distant future, and we're going to get a ship to space.
And they were right. They learned so much on Flight 8 that Flight 9 also span helplessly out of control and burned up in almost exactly the same way.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. We fly to learn, and we're learning a lot.
In reality, Colin said, nope. Just watch me burn.
And as is the case with developmental programs such as the Starship program, progress isn't always linear.
That's odd. I didn't remember seeing any of that on their application for $3 billion of taxpayers' money.
Well, I think in general, the amount of waste that happens with the federal government is really staggering.
If we lost rockets at the rate that Elon Musk loses his big Starship,
it's a staggering amount of waste of taxpayer money. And if we're, you know, for any given expenditure, we have to say, well, what does this do for the citizens of America?
NASA would have been out of business. Congress would have shut us down.
Like, how is this good for the people of America? It's their money. Like, for some weird reason, a lot of people in the sort of, you know, state or whatever, the politicians, they seem to forget that the money being spent is your money.
If we lost one Starship, let alone six or however many it's been, we can't do that.
And if it's not being spent in a way that is beneficial to the American people, it's a misuse of the funds.
Meanwhile, in the Musk compound, the SpaceX fans are celebrating the great success of Starship Flight 8.
Anyway, now they're up to about flight, what would it be? It's 12, I think, is the next one. And this was going to be the brand new version of Starship that was totally going to work this time. Yeah, that's the one that just blew up in testing. To say this is a disaster really doesn't cover this, in that it took SpaceX some 9 months to build this thing, and now it's scrap metal. Oh, but wait, they started building a second booster some 3 months after the first, so they're only going to have to wait a few months to get another booster, right? See, the schedule the acting head of NASA spoke of here, where SpaceX moved their attempting landing date from 2024 to 2029, had the utterly delusional goal that they were going to, on this new timetable, do the orbital fuel transfer test in mid-2026. That's about 6 months from now. So why is this utterly delusional? Number one, it would require that Starship can actually get to orbit, something it's never done before. Then it would have to do it twice on a brand new designed rocket. Then it would actually need to be able to take some cargo to space, something that it currently can't do. With the current payload of Starship 2 being something like 0 tons, we'll come on to that. Then they would need to launch at least two of these things in rapid succession, which would require two boosters. Yeah, you might see the problem at this point. So why can't they just rapidly reuse one of their boosters, like they claimed they were going to do all along? Well, that's great on paper, it's just that we actually have some track record now for them reflying some of these boosters.
So when I say rapid reusability, I mean, you know, you can fly it. You can fly the booster 20 times a day.
First time, it took them about 4 months, and they had to replace some 4 engines, give or take 10% of the engines. And the other time, it took 7 months, and they needed to replace about a third of the engines, about 10.
And place a ship on top of it, and in principle, refly the entire booster every hour. Maybe every 2 hours to give a little bit of extra time.
Even with the much simpler Falcon 9 system, it took SpaceX the best part of a decade to get that reuse time down to some 10 days. The idea that they're going to suddenly do this with their brand new, much more complex, untested system is kind of delusional when they're talking about their own rocket like this after their 8th flight test.
And as is the case with developmental programs such as the Starship program, progress isn't always linear.
All this after Flight 9.
Think of this as a tiles mission.
Yeah.
It's all about the tiles.
Yeah.
The Super Heavy booster flew for its second flight. It first flew on Flight 9 and made its way to take ship all the way up to stage separation, doing its first second flight ever, which is pretty incredible. We did lose the booster on the way back down as we did fly it back down at a higher angle of attack. So as expected, we did have it demise on the way back down.
Yeah, we were able to get all the way to that landing burn, though. So we made it through that higher angle of attack. So a lot of great data that's going to help us improve those.
Basically, this is think of this as a tiles mission.
Future booster flights.
Yeah, we did do the directional flip and it worked.
Yep.
It was actually
flipped
a great
right
view
direction
that we saw. And then ship continued, six healthy Raptor engines in the beginning of its flight, making it all the way to SECO and coasting for quite a while.
That's why I call it, like, this is a tiles mission.
Yeah.
It's all about tiles.
We made it to the expected time that we would open up the payload door. Unfortunately, the door did not open as we expected it to, so we did not deploy the eight Starlink satellites.
Yeah, we ran into a couple of issues once ship got there, but I can tell you it was a pretty crazy moment for a lot of the people that were standing here for ship to make it there. It's been a couple of flights, but it was really exciting to see.
Yeah.
It's all about the tiles.
Yeah.
Ran into some issues on orbit. We weren't able to deploy the Starlinks. We eventually lost attitude control, dealing with some propellant links inside of the ship, and we did lose attitude control. And just to confirm, we did lose contact with the ship officially a couple of minutes ago.
And for America to get back to the moon by 2029, that hopium schedule has to keep rolling like that for another 2.5 years. And as people in the space industry have noted, the milestones ahead of Starship make the ones they are currently trying to achieve look trivial. And thus far, their greatest achievement, their crowning achievement, has been getting this burnt husk back from space that then exploded.
We could be sending people to orbit before the end of next year. Mm-hmm. You know, within a year, approximately.
And place a ship on top of it. And place a ship on top of it. And in principle, refly the entire booster every hour. Maybe every 2 hours to be give a little bit of extra time.
Yeah, the whole rapid iteration thing always was the thinnest veneer of trying to hide the fact that their rockets were blowing up ever. You know, that's not the way that SpaceX actually works. That's not the way that it worked with the Falcon 9 or with Blue Origin. The goal was, first of all, to get a functioning rocket, which the Falcon 9 was from essentially the first launch. It could take something to orbit because it was a vanilla, nothing special rocket.
What SpaceX has been very successful at is taking basically off-the-shelf technology, stuff that was developed by NASA 50 years ago, and streamlining it.
And that's how it worked with Blue Origin's New Glenn. That first mission took something to orbit, and the second launch actually sent something on its way to Mars. And yes, this does mean that Blue Origin is now the official leader in actually sending spacecraft to Mars.
Nobody else out there, nobody, has made a rocket ship that'll go to Mars.
I mean, sure, if the competition was talking about going to Mars, Musk would be the uncontested winner. He was going to land on Mars in 2018, and of course never did. And he was going to land two starships in 2022 and humans in 2024.
So then in 2024, we want to try to fly four ships, two of which would be crewed, and two cargo and two crew.
Which, yeah, spoiler, never happened. And hell, even a simple Google search returns the result that Musk has never sent anything to Mars. And it also tells us that he was planning to send starships to Mars in 2026. Five of them. Yeah, that's never going to happen. Reality check for 2025. And oh dear God, I put that into a search engine as well, where it reminds us that SpaceX was planning to launch 25 starships in 2025. In reality, they launched five times, and Three of them blew up catastrophically, and this burnt husk with gas leaking out of holes in it, that's not meant to be happening, is what classed as a success for them. And with the Falcon 9, they eventually got around, after some 20 flights of trying to recover the booster, to actually getting one back, and it was some 30 flights before they actually managed to fly them again. But it was essentially a functioning rocket from the first flight. It could take something to orbit. Starship's on what, flight 12, 13? I'm kind of losing track. And they have still delivered nothing to orbit. The 2029 schedule is based on the same Musk bullshit promises that the 2024 schedule was based on. But Musk has a novel way of describing lying to people's faces. He calls it corporate puffery. You know, when he said they were going to make a million self-driving robo-taxis by 2020 and that full self-driving would be ready with certainty.
Predictions are not very good. It's not that smart.
So, I mean, I wrote software for like 15 years, 20 years. I know what we need to solve to make full self-driving future complete. I'm certain that we will get this done this year. Future complete was full self-driving this year with certainty. This is something that we control, and I manage autopilot engineering directly every week in detail. So I'm certain of this. Or finance person or something like that. I'm an engineer. I do engineering.
Well, Tesla got sued over these bullshit claims, and he actually won by claiming that this wasn't fraud. These were acts of corporate puffery that no reasonable investor would rely on. You know, like fraud, but with a new coat of paint. Yeah, welcome to the SpaceX timetable. Dim Todd famously announced that he was going to ride Starship to the moon. Now, that's dedication.
This is the future that I have been waiting for.
Oh, wait, that looks like the renders. We have a lot of engines. Look at how many engines are shut down!
Cheers, don't
shoot me! I'm literally
still moving. Oh my gosh.
No, wait.
Oh.
Look up. Oh, that looks like it's going down.
You know what? I think that was the flip.
Why?
That was a full cartwheel.
Funded by some billionaire, only for a year or so later for it to be cancelled when it was clear this thing was never going to happen. Something that probably saved Tim's life. Oh, I'm sorry, Uncle Sam. Did you getting back to the moon in this decade hinge on you actually believing that Musk's corporate puffery was real? Ladies and gentlemen, I bring you a public service announcement from Epic Voice Man of how to detect when Elon Musk has entered the maximum puffery zone. You don't need insider reports or leaked memos, rocket telemetry, or anything to figure this out.
Elon Musk 2020. SpaceX is building a floating, super heavy class of spaceport for Mars, the Moon, and hypersonic travel around the Earth.
Maximum puffery!
Number one, we could? The second, and I mean the second, you hear Musk say, we could, you know you've entered the puffery zone. It's not a schedule, it's not a forecast, it's corporate puffery in its purest uncut form. With a bonus multiplier of, I feel strongly that. That's when you know this man is now operating entirely on puffery-based propulsion. Number two, I would be surprised if we didn't. Ah, yes, the Apex Musk conditional sounds bold, but it's actually softer than marshmallows shot out of a Nerf cannon on floppy day. We're talking grade A. Could win international awards in the Puffery Olympics style puffery. Number three.
The next year we're aiming to demonstrate ship-to-ship propellant transfer.
Elite-level puffery. Puffery that's been aged in oak barrels for a smooth, confident finish. I think there's a very good chance that this year, translation, you have officially entered the timeline powered by Musk's knowledge that people don't judge him by his
actual achievements, but by his puffery claims. And finally, when Musk uses the word profound.
Because there's a lot happening in 2022 on Starship, right?
Yes. This is the biggest rocket ever made. It will have a thrust and mass double that of a Saturn V, which is the largest rocket to reach orbit.
And spoilers, some 5 years later, having blown some $3 billion of taxpayers' money, the Saturn V is still the largest rocket to have ever made orbit. Something Musk couldn't do with a rocket that was twice as powerful.
And is intended to be fully and rapidly reusable. This is a profound this is a profound revolution in access to orbit.
When you hear the word profound, buckle your seatbelt, Dorothy. This is not regular puffery. This is nuclear-grade puffery. We're talking four-star, slow-cooked, platinum-tier puffery. In summary, if you play a drinking game where you take a sip every time Musk uses one of these phrases, you'll never make it through one of his presentations alive.
But I'm highly confident it would be less than $10 million all in over, you know, if you say, like, fast forward, like, 2 or 3 years from now. I think it's highly likely to be everything included less than $10 million a flight. For 100-ton to orbit capability.
And by the power of time travel, we scroll forward 2 years.
Marginal cost of launch, maybe 100 million. So every explosion, it's like...
How pissed are you?
Boom, that was $100 million.
Fuck. That's gambling.
So, yeah, put the chips on.
You know, it first came clear to me when I watched Starship 3 spinning out of control in not orbit. And Musk immediately went out to say that this rocket could have taken 50 tons to orbit.
We're aiming for, like, currently Flight 3 would be around 40 or 50 tons to orbit.
The thing was, you could see that it was completely empty. This is one of the reasons why I regard Musk and SpaceX, as Musk regards basically everyone else, as a bad faith contractor.
Specifically saying about Bridenstine, the former boss of NASA. Just to be clear, he's a paid lobbyist. He represents his clients' interests, and his comments should be taken for what they are, as a paid lobbyist's efforts to secure billions more in government funding for his clients, who are already years late and billions of dollars over budget. Said SpaceX, who is acting as a paid lobbyists with its efforts to secure billions more in government funding for clients who are already years late and billions of dollars over budget. And if you're wondering why SpaceX is staring daggers at Bridenstine, might be something to do with this.
And there was a moment in time when we had no NASA administrator. It was after I was gone and before Senator Nelson became the NASA administrator, an architecture was selected. And I don't know how this happens, but the biggest decision in the history of NASA, at least since I've been paying attention, the biggest decision happened in the absence of a NASA administrator. And that decision was...
This decision, I should mention, was made by Kathy Luders, who, having awarded this $3 billion contract to a... SpaceX then quit NASA and went to work at SpaceX.
The biggest decision happened in the absence of a NASA administrator, and that decision was, instead of buying a moon lander, we're going to buy a big rocket. And I want to be clear, we need this rocket to be successful. It's important for the country, and it's transformational. But in the meantime, the architecture is as such. We need to launch Starship. That first Starship is a fueling depot that's in orbit around the Earth. Then we need to launch, nobody really knows, but it could be up to dozens of additional Starships to refuel the first Starship. So imagine launching Starship over and 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 over, dozens of times, no delays, no explosions, to refuel the first Starship. Then once it's fully refueled, then that Starship has to fuel another Starship that is in fact human rated, which that process hasn't even started yet. By the way, that whole in-space refueling thing has never been tested either. We're talking about cryogenic liquid oxygen, cryogenic liquid methane being transferred in space, never been done before, and we're going to do it dozens of times, and then we're going to have a human-rated starship that is refueled that goes all the way to the moon. Now, when it goes to the moon, we don't know how long it can be there because it's boiling off the entire time it's in orbit around the moon. We don't know how long it can be there, but while it's there, we have to launch the SLS, we have to launch the Orion, the European Service Module, we have to have astronauts and crew all ready to go. And they have to orbit the moon themselves in that window when Starship is around the moon, and then they have to dock around the moon. They have to transfer from the Orion into the Starship. It has to go down and land. When it's on the surface of the moon, Starship is gone, Orion is gone for the next 7 days until it comes back around in near rectilinear halo orbit. So our astronauts are right now planning to be on the surface of the moon for a period of 7 days without any way home. This is an architecture that no NASA administrator that I'm aware of would have selected had they had the choice. But it was a decision that was made in the absence of a NASA administrator in the last administration.
Yeah, SpaceX saying that someone else is an unreliable narrator because they have a government contract and that basically puts them in a position of conflict of interest is peak pot calling the kettle. Oh, did we just burn $3 billion of government money and deliver nothing? But you take a look at SpaceX's new big update, which all the Musk fans were absolutely gushing about. This was amazing. And I looked at that, and it just screams Enron levels of the Raptors. Enron was, at the time, the biggest fraud in American history. And one of the ways they got away with it, for as long as they did, is they used overly complex language to make something which was utterly mundane sound like it was a big achievement, that they were really shifting the paradigm here. Like, we are pursuing the synergistic acquisition of the next generation of capacity optimized.
Okay, let's work on your ExecuSpeak.
Solid waste receptacle platform to enhance downstream sanitation.
I'm worried about blank.
Don't you worry about blank. Let me worry about blank.
Through manual touch points and leverage economies of scale.
Blank? Blank? You're not looking at the big picture.
In the waste management process vertically. By which they mean they bought a trash can. And you just take a look at SpaceX's latest update. And jeez, does it bleed this semantic obfuscation from every orifice. Let's take a look at the first bit, the core stage update. Great, now we're going to find out what we really need to know about this system that has eaten $3 billion of taxpayer money. How much it can actually take to orbit, how much it will cost to actually make the HLS and go to the moon, and of course, when will it be ready? And all of those things were, of course, 100% not answered here. To date, SpaceX has produced more than 36 Starships and 600 Raptor rocket engines. Odd, they don't seem to mention that some 300 of those just ended up in the ocean. With more than 200,000 seconds of runtime on Raptor 2 engine and more than 40,000 seconds on the runtime of the next generation Raptor 3. Yeah, I'm still waiting for when it will be functional and how much it can take to orbit. There have been 11 integrated flight tests of Starship and Super Heavy. In parallel, SpaceX has constructed and continues to construct new Starship launch production integration and test facilities in Texas, Florida, and California. Yeah, you can see what I mean there. Kind of avoiding the big question like, when will it be ready and how much can it take to orbit? The private investment of billions of dollars. Odd, they don't mention that billions of those dollars are actually
taxpayer dollars have created more than 5 million square feet of manufacturing and integration space, 5 launch pads across Texas and Florida, and multiple Raptor test stands, all engineered to ramp up the launch cadence above and beyond the paradigm refining
of some paradigms, revolutionize outside the box.
Downstream sanitation through manual touch points.
Blank? Blank? You're not looking at the big picture!
You know, I've seen this kind of bullshit before in the launch of the Tesla Semi. Tesla Semi was going to beat diesel trucks from day one, where everything would just work.
That's I think, really quite profound. We're confident that this is a product that is better in every way from a feature standpoint. Even if you're in the truck and you have a medical emergency, the truck will stay in lane and gradually come to a halt and put on the emergencies. If it doesn't hear a response from you, it'll actually call emergency services and get an ambulance. It's going to take care of you. It's going to take care of other cars. It's going to take care of pedestrians. This is a massive increase in safety. That wins on economics against diesel trucks in a worst-case scenario, and that defeats rail in a convoy scenario.
Which they could do now.
So this is, I want to be clear, this is something we can do now.
Until, of course, the reveal event, where it turned out that it did none of those remarkable things. Which meant Musk had to gush over how remarkable it was that they made a truck with a cabin that had cup holders.
You know, make it kick ass for the drivers.
Yeah, I mean, it looks sick. I mean, look at that thing. So if you're a truck driver and you want the most badass rig on the road, this is it. It's fun. It looks awesome.
Well, the slowest truck in the road is really amazing. It's completely different from driving any other truck. Because reasons?
It's fast to accelerate. It's fast to brake. It's really a step change improvement in what it's like to drive a semi-truck.
Or you can just resort to the vapid Valley Girl speak of saying how awesome and totally rad things are.
It's pretty awesome. We want to make the truck an awesome driving experience, a game changer because of all the awesome innovations that have happened.
I mean, what I find actually really wild about this...
I mean, the team's done a lot of awesome work. I mean, we did all this work. It was really cool to watch them put... I mean, I think they even took like a bunch of like the various cups and put them in CAD, and you'll see them like...
Seriously, this is meant to be their great progress update after 5 years. No mention of payloads to orbit, because in all likelihood, its payload to orbit is a rotten tomato. Oh, sorry, zero. Anyway, Musk goes on to claim that Starship, the one that you saw take nothing to orbit, could have actually taken 15 tons. Copium, 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 copium! They can't say that the most powerful rocket ever launched couldn't even make it to orbit. But sure, Starship 2, which is basically the exact same vehicle with slightly more fuel on it, would take 100 tons to orbit. Which, 2 years later, after they made that claim, they scaled back to it was going to take 35 tons to orbit. The thing is, we've seen that thing launched absolutely full of fuel. And its cargo was 20 tons of dummy Starlink satellites. So from what we've seen so far with our own eyes is that Starship 1, the most powerful rocket ever launched, could actually take nothing to orbit, which was then massively enhanced by Starship 2, which could take 20 tons to not orbit. And Musk fans will, of course, chime in about this time and say, ah, yes, but it was almost orbit. Yeah, almost orbit. Thing is, you know how high it was and how fast it was going, so you can calculate the extra fuel you would need to get to orbit from there. And the answer is about 20 tons. Let's see, Starship 2 could have actually taken about 20 tons to not orbit or 0 tons to orbit. You know, before returning as a burnt husk. Yeah, want to know why SpaceX lists its achievements as producing like 3 dozen Starships and 600 Raptors and 1,000 seconds of burn time on Raptor 2 instead of listing its achievements in terms of payload to orbit? Because its payload to orbit is nothing. But Musk has a new shiny engine that's totally going to change all of this, right? The Raptor 3, which has never been tested in flight. So basically everything that SpaceX has done up to now is mostly going in the bin. A quick reminder, that means that Musk has effectively pissed away the entirety of the money that he got off the US government for the human landing system and has come to the singular conclusion that, so the engine wasn't good enough after all. But those new engines will change everything, right? Well, actually, they'll probably change almost nothing. Now, there's various ways that we can work out that the new engines probably won't change that much. I mean, the first one is we just extrapolate from Musk's previous claims of what the payload of Starship 1 and Starship 2 would be and what was actually delivered and just sort of interpolate from that. And it's basically, you know, you divide by 3 and subtract 50-ish, meaning that for Starship version 3, which Musk said would take 100 tons to orbit, yeah, I know, he said that for Starship 1 and 2, but whatever, he says it's really going to happen for Starship 3, which means it might just about be able to get to orbit empty. Or another way of doing it, we can take a look at the engine specs for the Raptor 3 versus the Raptor 2, where the ISP, that's basically the engine's efficiency, is about the same, but it's got more thrust. It's like 280 tons versus 230 tons, which basically means it runs its fuel pumps faster and just burns the fuel quicker. And sure, there's some advantage in that you can get to orbit quicker. There's also some disadvantage in that it's going to put more stress and force on your rocket. And as we know, because we've seen it, that Starship 2's payload to orbit was basically zero. It could just about get to orbit empty. Let's ask the various chatbots what they think the difference in payload to orbit would be if we just swapped out Raptor 2 engines for Raptor 3. And you take this with as many grains of salt as you want. Gemini comes back saying some 20 to 40 tons to low Earth orbit. ChatGPT comes back with some 20 tons. And for shits and giggles, I gave the same question to Grok, which said 120 tons. Until I checked its numbers for the dry mass at the upper stage, which it said was going to be 50 tons rather than 150 tons. And then I asked it to recalculate, and it said sort of 20, 25 tons-ish. Yeah, in all likelihood, the new engines will change nothing. Even with a deeply flawed SLS and Orion, at least those things worked.
You're seeing there on your screen our first Earth views. This view of Earth captured from a human-rated spacecraft not seen since 1972 during the final Apollo mission some 50 years ago.
That Orion is right on the money, coming right down the pike. Splashdown.
SLS did lob Orion around the moon. But even if you took SpaceX at their word that their delay is only going to be some 5 years, bear in mind that requires that the orbital refueling test will take place in some 6 months on a rocket that currently can take nothing to orbit or survive re-entry. Well, that five-year delay is not going to stop the costs of these other programs. So for shits and giggles, I asked Grok Musk's truth-seeking AI to estimate the cost to the US taxpayer of a five-year delay of the HLS. And it comes back that Musk being late for the HLS contract will cost the American taxpayer about $30 billion.
Do you expect HLS to be, Starship HLS to be the long pole for Artemis 3?
No, I definitely don't. I think we will be the first thing to be really be. I think we will be the. Yeah, that we will not be a limiting factor at all.